Father, we're grateful for the opportunity once again to gather. The reason we're here is in the name of Jesus Christ and in order to bless you and minister to you, to feed upon your word, to get in your presence in a corporate way, to give you an opportunity to strengthen us and to encourage us and to teach us, to more perfectly furnish and equip us unto every good work, to minister to our needs, to reach us in perhaps a way that we are not reachable outside of the walls of this place, outside of the walls of this church. Father, we know that you don't need the inside of a stone building in order to touch a man's heart, but sometimes we need the inside of a building to get us in a frame of reference where we'll allow you to touch us. And so we come into your church tonight. When we're here, we know for an absolute certainty that your presence is here. Intellectually, we assent to the fact that your presence is everywhere. And that no matter where we may be, and no matter what the circumstances, that you are never far from us, you're as close as our breath. David said in the 139th Psalm, "Where shall I flee from the presence of the Lord?" And so we know as a fact that there's no place that we can go that you're not there. The problem is that experientially we don't recognize that. Sometimes we just feel that you are somehow more present in a church than you are in our home or in our place of business or in our car or in our backyard or wherever. And so, we would pray tonight, Father, that you would, so to speak, take advantage of this frame of mind. That you would take advantage of the condition of our thought patterns tonight and the condition of our heart. That as we've come into the house of God, that our hearts are softer now, somehow more responsive and more receptive to the truth, somehow more open to the miraculous supernatural power of a miracle-working God. You know each one of us. You knew us before the foundation of the earth was laid. You knew us in our mother's womb. You know our going out and our coming in. You know every thought of our mind and all the intents of our heart. You know our spiritual condition. You know our physical condition. You know everything about us. You know so many things about us we don't even know about ourselves. Tonight, Father, we would invite you to provide a personal and intimate ministry to each of us, perhaps even to accomplish something in our lives that we don't even know needs done. We don't even know enough about ourselves to ask you for it, to desire it even. But tonight we would say, Father, that whatever circumstance may exist in our life, spiritual or physical, emotional or material, whatever that is, Father, let your grace abound here tonight. Let your mercy flow. Let the goodness and the love of God so fill this auditorium tonight that your blessings become abundantly more real for each of us than they ever have been before. Those here tonight, Lord, who are sick, I'm asking you to heal them, everyone. Those who are here tonight who are lost, I'm asking you to save them, everyone. Those who are here tonight who are weak and bowed down, I'm asking you to strengthen and edify and empower everyone. Those who are here tonight, Father, that are infirm in any way, I'm asking you to make whole everyone. Those who are here tonight who are oppressed, who are bound, who are, yes, perhaps even possessed, I'm asking you to deliver by the power of God. In Jesus' name. every one. Help us to receive that which Jesus has already accomplished for us at Calvary and beyond. Help us, Lord, cause faith to rise up in us through the proclamation of this word, that we may reach out and grab a hold of the blessings of God, that we may reach out and take. For Jesus said, the kingdom of God cometh, and the violent press into it and take it by force. Give us the courage and the boldness to lay claim and to lay hold on the promises of your covenant with us. Use the proclamation of the word, the soft openness of our hearts, and the sanctity of these special moments inside this church auditorium to accomplish those objectives. I ask you, Father, that you would speak through my mouth in these next few moments, that your power would be manifested in my hands, that the Spirit of God would have free rein to minister truth and power to each one of us, that Jesus Christ, his name, his person, his ministry would be exalted. And that all men would come to call him Lord. Hallelujah. For it's in that mighty and magnificent name that we pray, the name of Jesus. Amen. I hope that when we sing together, when we praise the Lord, I hope that you are listening to what we are singing. James had no idea what I was planning for the service tonight. He and I don't discuss it. He and Sally get together and they get the music together and I get the rest of the service together, and it's amazing to me how when we when we step to the platform, the Spirit of God just kind of puts that all together. And as we're singing, it perhaps is not as meaningful to you as it is to me, because I know what is to come. But the songs that we're singing and the words that are coming from our mouths and so on, and I could just see tonight how that was producing faith in the hearts of God's people, not knowing even what was about to come. I'm going to share with you several scriptures from the Gospels tonight, and then I'm going to minister to you in the name of the Lord. Matthew chapter 4 is the first passage I want you to see. Matthew chapter 4. Reading a couple of verses, I want you to see the ministry of Jesus while he was here on the earth. Then we're going to move to the ministry of his church, and then we're going to put that into practice. And so if you have a need in your life tonight, I want you to prepare to receive the answer for that need. I want you to prepare to receive from the Lord tonight and allow his word to enter your hearts and to produce the quality of faith that will cause healing or deliverance or whatever ministry you may be in need of tonight. Matthew chapter 4, beginning to read in the 23rd verse, these words. Now listen to this carefully. What we're going to do tonight is we're not going to have a bunch of emotionalism or a bunch of fanaticism. But we are going to have Bible-based, Spirit-filled Christianity. We are going to read God's Word, and we're going to proclaim God's Word. We're going to believe God's Word. We're going to stand on God's Word. We're going to minister according to God's Word, and we're going to receive God's promises. So I want you just to listen carefully to the Word of God. It's that simple. I'm not going to preach tonight. I'm just going to share the Word with you. I may expound it here and there, but I'm just going to share the Word. I believe that it is the power that is God's Word that ministers to the people. That's what always ministered to me, simply the Word. And I can pick up the Word now, as I'm sure you do, in a time of need, and just open the Word, and I don't need a preacher. but I would be lost without this. And pick it up and open it up and read a verse of Scripture, and there's life in it. If you'll pardon the expression, there's fire in it. And that word ministers to me and provides the answer that I need for that particular situation. It never, never fails. Now, it may take me a while to find the word that I need, but once I've found the word, it produces the result in my life. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to praise you in the presence of the congregation for this word, which is the power of God. I thank you in Jesus' name for it. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Now, do you notice that he healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease? Now, you may have the rarest case of the rarest disease that has ever been known to man, and perhaps only three people have ever had it before you. You ever heard folks talk about their sicknesses? It's incredible how proud we are of the rarity of our disease. My doctor said he's never seen a case as bad as mine. And all we do is we just dig ourselves a hole so deep that we just can't get the Spirit of God into that circumstance. I would rather be one of the three that get healed rather than one of the three that died of this rare disease, wouldn't you? Healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. He healed them. How many of you see that? He healed them. All right, let's go to Matthew 9 and verse number 35. Now, I'm not reading you every healing scripture that's in the New Testament, just a few that speak to me today concerning the ministry of healing and the ministry of deliverance as provided for in the Bible. I'm just high spotting a few scriptures here. Matt, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many can sense the Spirit of the Lord in the house of God tonight? Hallelujah. Verse 35, now I'm reading from Matthew 9, these words. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You notice how that's the same thing we saw in Matthew 4. And in addition to his teaching and preaching, what else did he do? Healing every sickness. Say that with me. Healing every sickness. Say that again. Healing every sickness. Say this. Jesus healed every sickness. Jesus healed every sickness. Do you really believe that? But this is just a book that was written by men, isn't it? That was just their perception, wasn't it? An uneducated, illiterate people. Jesus healed every sickness. Paul said that all of God's word is inspired by the Spirit of God. It's all inspired. How about the word every? Do you suppose the word every is an inspired word? Do you suppose healed is an inspired word? Jesus healed every sickness and every disease among the people. He healed every sickness and every disease. Does anyone in here tonight have a sickness or a disease that does not come under the category of every? You feel that your problem is special and that the word every doesn't cover it. Anybody like that? Good. Good. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Oh, the Word of God is so good. Luke chapter 9. Now, those of you who believe in healing and expect the Lord to use you or want the Lord to use you in healing, in ministering healing to others, those of you that would like to know how to build your faith so that you could get healing for yourself in the future when you need it, I hope you have your pencil out. And I hope you're taking down some of these scriptures. Write them down on a piece of paper, stick them in your Bible, or write them on one of the fly leaves in the Bible so that you have them there. Just put healing and put these scriptures down. Luke 9, verse number 11. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, that is Jesus. You notice how we see the word people used in every one of these verses. He healed the people. He healed every sickness among the people. When the people knew it, they followed him. And he received them. When the people followed him, he received them. Now that tells me he didn't turn anybody away. If they were willing to come, he was willing to receive them. Same's true for you. If you're willing to come, he won't turn you away, no matter who you are. He received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. Read that last phrase with me. And healed them that had need of healing. Say that again. And healed them that had need of healing. Do you have need of healing? Jesus wants to heal you. He will heal you. There's only one qualification according to this passage, and that is that you have a need. If you have a need, the Lord will receive you, and he will heal you. He healed them that had a need for healing. Now let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 4, beginning to read in the 40th verse. These words, and this was right early in the ministry of the Lord. And the record is thus. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers or various diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Now you see, when the sick were brought with all different kinds of diseases, when they came to Jesus, Jesus in this situation ministered with a laying on of hands according to Luke's record. He laid his hands on how many of them? Every one of them. And by the laying on of his hands, what happened to them? He healed every one. Them were healed. Excuse the grammar there. They were healed. He healed them. All right, 41st verse. And devils also came out of many. How many of you know that demons can cause sicknesses? How many of you know demons can cause blindness, deafness, other kinds of infirmities and weaknesses? Yes. And in the healing ministry, you're going to encounter demons. Oh, come on, Pastor. We're enlightened today. Those kinds of things don't exist today. Well, then I wonder what those things are that come out of people when you lay hands on them and command them out in the name of Jesus. I wonder what you call them. Yes, demons are real. The devil is just as real as Jesus is. He has demon spirits that go forth and do his work. They do possess people. They do drive people. They do oppress people. They do produce sickness, disease. They produce the desire and the pressure to sin. They are real. And the only way that you can deal with them is you can't play patty cake with them. It's a life and death kind of situation. You've got to deal with them with the name of Jesus Christ, and it's warfare. When Jesus was ministering to the sick, we're told the devils came out of not a few, but many. And when they came out, they cried out, saying, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. I want you to know that when the devil gets in the presence of Jesus, he knows where he is. When he gets in the presence of a man or a woman who has Jesus living big within him, he knows that too. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came to him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. In other words, I've got to go to all of the cities that God has called me and preach the kingdom, because there are those that are lost there, there are those that are sick there, there are those that are bound and oppressed there, and I must bring for them the good news of the gospel. Now let's go to the Gospel of Mark, please, the 6th chapter, and let's look at two passages there. Mark chapter 6. As I said before, let me remind you that we are just highlighting some of the record of the Gospels concerning a portion of the ministry of Jesus with regard to healing and with regard to deliverance. Reading in the 7th verse, these words: "And he," that is Jesus, "called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by 2 and 2, and gave them power over unclean spirits," or over demonic spirits, "and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on 2 coats. Excuse me. And he said unto them, In what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide until ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust from under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them." Now I want you to notice something in the 13th verse. It says, "And they." Who's the they? The disciples. Not Jesus in this case. The disciples. They cast out. God didn't cast out. Who cast them out? They cast them out. They cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Now there's something very interesting in this passage, that when Jesus gives his authority and his power to his followers, and they use it, they get the same results. Not only did Jesus heal the sick, not only did Jesus cast out devils, but he gave authority and power to his followers, and they healed the sick, and they cast out devils by the same power that was in the Lord Jesus. Now hold your finger there, and we'll be back to that, but turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, this account in Matthew 10 is an account of the same circumstance that we just read from Matthew 6, but it's a little fuller account of the instructions that Jesus gave. I'm going to read the first verse and then the 7th and 8th. "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits." Now the word power there is the Greek word exousia. It technically means, rather than power, it means authority. Jesus gave to his disciples the authority against unclean spirits. Fallen man does not have authority against the devil. But redeemed man, in the name of the Redeemer, Jesus, does have authority. And Jesus gave to his disciples, it says clearly, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, do you notice the words there are the same words that we saw a little earlier in this passage where Jesus, it is said, healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Here it is, the disciples were given the same power, the same authority, the same anointing, if you will, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And then in verse 7, after Jesus had given the authority, here's his command. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Now there are those within the church today that would say, Pastor, I understand that, but that was the 12 disciples. It's not us. That's not for today. That was for that day. It was for those 12. But we don't have that authority today. We don't have that power today. That is not the will of God for the church today. I beg to differ with you. And I would take you to Matthew chapter 28, reading from the 16th verse and on. How many of you believe that the great commission of Jesus is for the church today? To go and preach the gospel and win people to the kingdom of the Lord. We love to quote Matthew 28 and 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And we believe that's for the church. But we don't believe the rest of it is. I'm going to show you that if part of it is, all of it is. Reading in the 16th verse, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee and to a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, here's the word exousia again, all authority, say that with me, all authority, say it again, all authority, say the word all authority, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, at therefore, what's the therefore? All authority is given to me, I'm giving it to you, go into all the world, take my authority, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the world. How many of you believe the world has ended yet? Then in that light, how many of you believe that the Lord is with us tonight? Lo, he is with us. He's here right now. You see that? All right, now let's go to Mark's Gospel, the 16th chapter. And let's expand that just a moment. Beginning to read in the 14th verse. Hallelujah. Now this is Mark's account of a similar event. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, that sounds like the Great Commission to me, does it to you? Does it sound like Matthew 28:19? This was given to the 11 disciples, wasn't it? But hasn't the church understood that this is the commission for the entire church? Don't we believe that? Well then, what did he go on to say? There's nothing in this passage that says, now, what I've just said is for you and everyone that comes after you, but what I'm about to say is for you 11 only. He doesn't say anything like that. He gives a commission to the church. He gives instruction to the church. He gives authority to the church to preach the gospel to every creature. And then his promise is, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe, not just the 11, but the church. These signs, these specific evidences that I have given my authority to you, these specific demonstrations of power will validate your ministry, will validate your who I am among you and who you are among men, and will confirm to the world that the message that you preach and teach and declare is the truth. These signs will follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, who does that sound like? The casting out devils portion and the laying hands on the sick and them recovering. Who does that sound like? Sounds just like Jesus, doesn't it? Who else does it sound like? It sounds like the disciples, doesn't it? Who else should it sound like? Us. The church. If we're going to preach the gospel, that every creature hear the gospel and have an opportunity to be saved, we ought to also cast out devils when we encounter them. We ought to also lay hands on the sick. We ought to also have no fear when we pick up serpents or if we drink some deadly thing. Somebody said, Pastor, where's the snakes? Well, thank God they're not anywhere around here. You see, those that are just playing with those things are, they're tempting the Lord, and they don't understand the meaning of these passages. If you go over and read the 28th chapter of Acts, you will find Paul on the island of Mileta. And he picked up some sticks, you know, he was in bonds on his way to Rome, and he picked up some sticks, and obviously it was cold, and snakes are cold-blooded animals, and in the wintertime they don't move. Their blood is so cold that they're in hibernation. And when he picked up these sticks, there was a poisonous snake in the midst of the sticks, and he laid the sticks on the fire, and when he did, the blood of the snake warmed, and the snake began to move and then fastened itself upon his hand. And everybody was waiting for him to die, because you know when you're bitten by a poisonous snake, you're going to die. And they were all sitting around watching him, waiting for him to die. And when he didn't die, they figured out he must be a god. You know, and it was God's protection upon him that when he handled the serpent, that it didn't cost him any. It didn't cost him his life, you see. And the same principle on the other thing. In other words, God's protection shall be upon those that are believing. All right, now let's go back to Mark chapter 6. I told you we'd be coming back to that. Now, we saw only one requirement in the Scriptures. In order to get Jesus to heal, you had to need healing. We saw that one requirement. He healed all that were in need of healing. We're going to see another requirement here in Mark 6, beginning in the first verse. He went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. In other words, as they looked at Jesus in his own hometown, they said, We know this boy. We remember when he ran barefoot in the streets. We know his sisters and his brothers. We know his parents. We know where the carpenter shop is. This is no extraordinary man. This is a quite ordinary person. This man is nothing special. There's nothing different about him. He's a quite an ordinary man. How is it that he does these miracles that we're hearing about? I don't believe that. I don't think an average man, one that we have seen, we remember when he was in swaddling clothes, for goodness sake, tell me that an ordinary person like that is casting out devils and is healing the sick. And they refused to believe that the power of God could flow through an ordinary person. And they thought, since they knew all about this man Jesus, that he could not possibly operate in the anointing and the power of God, and because of that, they couldn't receive. They didn't get any healing. Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And verse 5 is a very, very important verse. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. The margin of some Bibles reads, he healed a few of some minor ailments. He marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about their villages teaching. Here's the second requirement. First is, you must need healing or deliverance. The second is, you must believe for it. This verse is clear. It does not say that Jesus wouldn't. It says that he couldn't. The reason that he couldn't was because of the unbelief of the people. Now let me tell you something. In just a few moments, I'm going to invite you to come down here. If you're sick or bound or oppressed and you want the ministry of the Lord for your situation, I'm going to give you an open invitation for healing to come forward and stand here at this altar. And when you do that, I'm going to lay hands on you in the same way that Jesus laid hands upon the people that came to him. When I do that, I know that healing power flows to you. You say, how do you know that? Because I've experienced it hundreds of times. And you can be healed if you'll simply accept it. But if you say, hey, I ain't buying that. That's an ordinary guy. He's just an ordinary man. He hasn't got the power to do that. You're quite right as far as you go. I am quite ordinary. I'm quite an ordinary person. If you touch me, look at me, talk to me, you will find that I'm a man like anybody else. I have the same weaknesses. I have the same frailties. I have the same feelings. I'm quite an ordinary person. There's nothing extraordinary about me at all. And if you're looking purely to me, you won't receive. But there's quite an extraordinary man living inside me. And his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and that makes the difference. And so if you come forward for healing and you think, well, I'm going to just test this guy out, you might as well stay where you are. Because you're not testing me. You've already been tested by the Spirit of the living God and found wanting. But if you'll come forward and say, I believe the word that was just read to me tonight. I believe that's the Bible. I read it in my own Bible. I saw it right there. I know that this is just an ordinary guy with an ordinary set of hands. But I believe that the anointing of God within him, when I release faith in the promises of God, I believe that by the laying on of hands, I can receive my healing and you'll get healed. Now that's the way it works. That's as simply as I know how to put it. That's as straightforward as I know how to say it. I don't have anything to offer you except what's inside me, and that which is inside me is the power of God. God has given to me the authority to lay hands on the sick and to provide healing. I don't have any more of that authority than you do. I operate in it more frequently, and it flows a little freer perhaps than it does in some others. But that's the only difference. God wants you whole. How many of you believe that tonight? Whole. Whole. Now, you may be 100% satisfied with your physical condition tonight. There might be nobody in this congregation that's sick and needs healing, but I don't think so. I mean, it really would be, if I'm really listening to the Lord, it would be strange that he would bring forth this kind of a message if there weren't some folks here that he wanted to minister to tonight. And as I was seeking him for the message today, or what he wanted to bring tonight, rather, it was, I want to minister to my people. I just want to minister to my people. I want to minister to my people. And so on the strength of that instruction, that's what I've done, to bring you the word. And then he wants to minister to you. And I'm just going to let him use me to do that. Now, if you want healing, I want you to stand to your feet now. And I want you just to come down front. I want you just to come down here to the altar. Just stand to your feet right now and come down here. And Father, we thank you in advance for the testimonies that shall come. The testimonies that will exalt Jesus, that will encourage others in their faith to continue to stand and to continue to believe and to continue to trust. Thank you, Father, for what you have done tonight. We receive it done by faith. We appreciate the fact, Lord, that you're no respecter of persons, that healing belongs to all of your children, that deliverance belongs to all of your children, and in the especially precious and personal way that you minister to us, we are so, so very grateful. We thank you, Lord, for that part of the kingdom that does come with observation. We have opportunity to observe it. But we're even more grateful for the assurance that all of your promises come, whether we observe them or not, simply because he is faithful who promised. Thank you, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And now I dismiss you.